started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Good night, everybody.
Welcome back to What's Happening here on WMFO in Medford. We heard the Navy hymn for John McCain. We heard the Odd Couple theme for Neil Simon, who wrote everything and all the great television shows and all of the great movies. And also heard some great Aretha Franklin.
Oh, Aretha.
Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And Dr. Feelgood from the Fillmore West.
I was waiting outside when you were playing all that stuff.
One was from February, and the other one was from March of 65.
Wow.
Also, you can't beat, ever, Stevie Ray Vaughan with Voodoo Child.
No, you cannot.
Then, we also had, unfortunately, a great comedic actor pass, Tim Conway. The first time we probably all saw him was on McHale's Navy.
Ensign, was he Ensign Pulver?
No, Ensign Pulver.
All right, I'm getting my TV characters mixed up.
No.
I was a little kid.
Yeah, he was on McHale's Navy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Carol Burnett Show.
Yes.
And we just heard the Carol Burnett theme song, actually her closing song. And
who was Ensign Pulver? Who am I thinking of?
Ensign Pulver was a great Bostonian called Jack Lemmon.
Yes, that's who Ensign Pulver was.
Of course, he was Ensign Pulver opposite... Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda, right.
And then, of course, they also had, in one of them, they had, there were two different movies. In one movie, they had Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, yeah.
And he's over there with the marbles.
With the marbles, yes.
And the other, which is the Caine Mutiny, actually.
The Caine Mutiny,
yes. A little different. And the other one, where... they took the tree,
yeah,
and threw it off.
that was the Ensign Pulver one, right?
Yeah, and
James Cagney was the admiral of the ship, who was a real hard nose, and Henry Fonda was always trying to do the right thing and had the moral, ethics to do the right thing. And Jack Lemmon's character, Ensign Pulver, he was sort of a friend of Henry Fonda, and I can't remember if Henry Fonda's character gets killed at the end.
Henry Fonda's character takes, and he's supposed to be retiring.
Right.
And he takes a ship that gets destroyed.
Right.
And it's...
And so then Ensign Pulver, in honor of all the things that the character that...
Henry Fonda
had done, he takes the plant, the favorite plant of James Cagney, and chucks it over the boat.
Chucks it over the side.
Yes.
And we also have, of all people, the leader of... thank you. That's my card. Thank you very much. The leader of...
King Serpent Variety Troop, David Breen here. Hello, and it's good to be here.
Yeah, David's been very busy with shows all over the place and events, and he is a member of Alley 54, not Car 54, but Alley 54.
Alley 54. And since we're going down the old TV path here.
But
yes.
We do know where he is. He's right here. A matter of fact, they had their great event at the Willows in Salem on one of the stormiest days of the year. But they had a great turnout and a great event, and The big thing is, I know tonight he's going to an event. Where are you going? Where are you going tonight right after the show?
After the show, I'm heading over to the Arts at the Armory in Somerville for Cafe Rocks. Cafe Rocks is a show that's put on over there once a month by my friend Arlene Elkins. She is a interpretive belly dancer, and
nice.
What she does is puts together these shows once a month to showcase different types of belly dance art. And also, Arlene is going to be in one of my shows coming up in September. So, but anyway, getting back to Cafe Rocks, that's going to be tonight at the Arts at the Armory in Somerville. And you can get in for a small donation. That will be at 7 p.m. at the Arts at the Armory in Somerville. So come on down, check it out.
All right, David. And for those of you who are wondering who the other voice is on the show with Aaron, it is I, Smitty, who I'm actually here to talk about two bands, not only my Smitty band, but also the band that I still play drums in, Little Billy Lost.
What did Billy lose? I thought it was Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Yeah.
That was a great song.
Yes, it was.
Do you know who wrote that?
Okay.
And who sang that?
I do and I don't.
They had a major hit with a song about Chicago.
Yeah, oh, come
on. Paper Lace.
Thank you.
They did The Night Chicago Died.
Yes.
And Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Right.
And quite different. I mean, you know, one is a very happy song about the way back when of all times, David's time when he does his show, which is, when is it done?
Which era are we talking about?
What era are you talking about? You're talking about the time when you're doing the Roaring Twenties.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay, and of course we had, you know, all that great, terrible stuff going on in Chicago.
Yeah.
In the, you know...
It's been romanticized. I'm sure it was horrible at the time.
Prohibition,
but, yeah.
You know, I mean, and, although, I guess the... Since we're talking television and radio and movies, Some Like It Hot.
Yes. Ah. Oh.
Now, there we go. There's another the same Bostonian,
yep.
Isn't that?
Jack Absolutely.
Lemmon.
Yes.
Jack Lemmon with...
Was Tony Curtis a...
Tony Curtis and...
Oh, well,
Marilyn Monroe.
Right. But she's not Massachusetts.
No. But Tony... You know, but I'm just saying...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, Jack Lemmon. Well, yeah.
So, I got the opportunity back in 1783, no, feels like it, 1999, to go out to a convention, which was held at the Del Coronado in San Diego.
Ooh.
Del Coronado is the hotel where most of the stuff took place in Some Like It Hot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, they have the new building and they have the old building. I got to stay in the old building. My boss stayed in the new building. So I got to stay in the building that Marilyn Monroe was in.
Oh.
And Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon and Spatz and everybody else. You know, all these great actors. And they say that Marilyn still is there.
Her ghost, her spirit.
Her energy.
Her energy. Yeah.
And, you know, Marilyn Monroe is Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the greatest tribute, of course, was done by Elton John.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And then, of course, unfortunately, he had to rewrite it for Lady Di.
You got it. Yeah.
And it's like, but it's, you get, if you haven't ever been out to San Diego, one, the zoo is fantastic.
Oh, no. I've actually been to San Diego. I love San Diego. Yeah,
but
not that hotel you're talking about. But yeah.
Well, but Del Coronado is out on Coronado Island, and when we were out there, my boss said, yeah, it was a nice night. You know, it was a party going on. We went to take a walk on the beach, and it was a beautiful night on the beach. And all of a sudden, we hear this sound that sounded like whales.
Okay, sure. Yep.
It wasn't whales.
Uh-oh.
That is what they use for the sonar as they're bringing in the airplanes, so nobody knows that it's not a whale when they're coming in with these planes. So it's not like you're hearing this loud...
Right.
you know, you're hearing what sounds like a whale, and it's really, really
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, because they definitely have a big naval base down there. Makes sense. And it's kind of last stop.
It's right there.
Mexico.
I mean, it's right there on the corner.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself. What, growing up, we're similar age. So, I mean, we talked about, you watch a lot of television, but what made you want to get into music? What did you listen to? Who did you listen to? Who were your favorites? And
classic. It's class. So here's the beauty part. So, you know, I'm just, you know, little kid, you know, I definitely remember things when I was like about a year and a half old, but really the world kind of came into focus right about when I was like 3 and a half going on 4. And I am originally from Detroit. So that's where I was born and raised. I moved out to Boston in 1985. So I've actually, just a few years ago, I have a few more years here in Boston than I do in Detroit. But the first half of my life was Detroit. And
city of music.
Motown
music.
Motown and everything. So that's another sub thing we can talk about. But as a tiny little kid, black and white television, that, you know, the cheapest little, the RCA little red and white, you know, black and white TV. And what was on? Cecil and Beanie. And they would do all those, like, they would do mock songs. And I forget the name of the band who actually did the original version, but they did a version called Rag Mop. So at like 4 years old, I'm like running around the house, screaming and singing, you know, Rag Mop, do-do-do-do-do-do. So at a very early age, I could tell music was like a thing that I was really into. So you just kind of click forward a couple, you know, 3-4 more years, bam, Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I mean, it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Anybody who was a young kid whose parents allowed them to stay up to 8 o'clock to see Ed Sullivan, who saw the Beatles when we went into school the next day on Monday, it was like we had lost our minds. And all the other kids who couldn't stay up or weren't interested in Ed Sullivan, they were just like, what is your problem? It was like, they're just a dumb band. And even my mom, and I love busting her on this, right after the Beatles got done playing their full set the first night on Ed Sullivan, she looks at me and she goes, you know, Michael, they're just a fad.
Did she say they're just a fad or a fab?
Yeah. And I love busting her on that periodically. They're just a fad. It's just, yep, apparently so, Mom.
Well, I was a little bit behind you because when they were on...
So if I was 7, you're probably like 3 or 4? 5?
Well, that was 64, so it was 2.
2? You were... All right.
So, sort of missed them, but...
At the beginning, but you caught them, yeah.
Well, actually, you know when I caught them?
When'd you catch them?
After they were no longer the Beatles. No, seriously. Because I listened to what my parents listened to.
Right, right.
Which was, you know, my father listened to Beethoven, Bach, Tchaikovsky, Chopin, right. You know, all the great composers. Lerner and Lowe, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Gilbert and Sullivan.
Right.
I knew who Simon and Garfunkel were.
Yeah.
I knew who the Fifth Dimension were.
Right.
And I knew who, the Archies were.
Yeah.
And, of course, the greatest band in my mind.
At that time. The Monkees, of course. Well, I love the Monkees, too. How do you not like the Monkees?
And, I mean, watching the Monkees and getting to hear their music.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took till they did their first real reunion.
Right.
In the 80s that I got to see them at Sullivan Stadium.
Okay. You saw them in a concert setting. I saw them for the first time when they did their Mike Nesmith tour. They did the Hat Shell, when they played the Hat Shell umpteen years ago. That's the first time I ever saw them live.
Well, I've seen them live many times, and of course I did have the opportunity a month ago to meet Mickey Dolenz.
Oh yes, I saw that. Everybody, I had something going on. I couldn't get down there. Everybody was getting their picture taken with Mickey Dolenz.
I didn't. You know why?
Why?
I met him coming in the door. I said, hello, Mickey. He said, hello. And then I got to meet him a couple days later at Comic-Con.
Right.
And we sat down and talked for a few minutes.
You met him and talked to him, and you didn't do a selfie
you know
or whatever.
No, because you know what? The way I look at it, I mean, similar to Steven Tyler.
Right.
You meet these great entertainers and artists, and it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I mean, if Elvis showed up, first of all, if Elvis showed up today, we'd really be in trouble. But, you know,
right.
Elvis would walk in the door with Groucho and Hendrix.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
What a lineup, right?
Well, you can go to Costello if you want, if you make it somebody who's still with us.
Lou Costello? No, he's been gone for a long time. Yeah, I bet.
Lou Costello.
Yeah, which was a genius in his own right.
Of course.
Which brings us. Well, if you talk about who's on first, although I know the Red Sox are not doing
well. But you're asking me as a little kid, so it gets divided right down the middle. My dad actually was a big fan of buying comedy albums. And as far as the music and the comedy goes, I was a huge fan of Alan Sherman. I mean, I was into that guy big time. I thought he was a rock star. You know, I didn't really know he was a, just a, sort of like an East Coast Borscht Belt kind of comedian guy.
Without the Borscht Belt, we wouldn't have had comedy.
Yeah, well, pretty much. But it was my mom who was really into music, and she had very eclectic tastes. She was into Elvis, Peggy Lee, The Doors. When I came home from grammar school one day, my mom is playing, you know, L.A. Woman and dancing around the kitchen. I never saw my mom in that particular mode before. It kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Was she wearing her pearls like June Cleaver?
No, my mom actually, she wasn't. She was kind of like the Graduate.
Oh, Graduate.
Like very mod hippie, not hippie like
Mrs. Robinson.
Kind of like a younger version, but that was the mode. It was Mad Men, that style, very much that style, mini skirts and the whole deal. Yeah, absolutely.
99 from Get Smart.
Yes, absolutely.
And Laughing.
Yes. Oh, Laughing was on every Monday in our house because he had, you know, the counterculture, and my dad was into it, and my mom liked the style.
And of course, the most famous person who ever graced Laughing. Sock it to me.
Oh, all right.
Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, you had.
Yeah.
Flip Wilson. You had Sammy Davis Jr. You had Artie Johnson. You had Ronan Martin. You had Goldie Hawn. Ruth Buzzy. Yeah. I'm going blank.
The cast.
The cast was,
and people went on to do stuff and as character actors and the whole deal.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And you also had, and I'm forgetting his name now.
What TV show?
Welcome to Wonderful
View. Oh, Dick.
Gary Owen.
Gary Owen. Thank you.
Yes,
not
Owen.
Dick.
Yes,
Gary
to,
Owen. Yes.
Beautiful right. Downtown Burbank.
Right. And they even gave him jokes, too.
The Fickle Finger of Fate.
Yes.
Yes. You know. I mean, that show, when they brought it back, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, when you have something that's a classic, you don't take it away.
No.
You know. That's why I watch the different things that David does. And he, first time I met him, he was...
Here we go.
The quietest... No, he wasn't. He was the loudest pirate I've ever heard.
Pirate! Yeah!
And he came in there with a great friend of ours, Greg Guba, who is now in Arizona. And he was loud. but then King Serpent came from it, and he's had different renditions of his theater troupe. And a matter of fact, there is a great show that they're doing in a couple weeks in honor of a great few friends of his, and the proceeds from these events will go to their scholarship funds.
Gotcha.
Oh, let me get my glasses out.
Oh, he's going to make a spectacle of himself again.
It's getting even worse. You know, this is my unexpected birthday present when I turned 45 this year. Anyway, so, yeah, coming up on September 20th, 8 p.m. at Pearl Street Station, 53 Summer Street in Malden, will be the King Serpent Variety Troupe presents the King Serpent Follies with guest performers. Lately, we've been doing our shows, but we've been adding some more performers. Obviously, not on a regular basis, because a lot of these other folks are involved with other endeavors. But, you know, for this show, we are going to add a couple of new musicians. And Arlene Elkins, the host of Cafe Rocks, will be dancing in the show as well. So this is the King Serpent Follies with guest performers at 53 Summer Street in Malden, the Pearl Street Station Tuscany Room. Proceeds to benefit the Nate Dunn Memorial Fund. Anybody, and you guys probably know of Nate Dunn in this area. His latest music project was really big over at places like PA's Lounge and the Middle East. It was called Tri-X Coalition. Nate sadly passed away last year due to complications from colon cancer. And Nate's fund, the Nate Dunn Memorial Fund, actually was set up by his family. Nate sadly left behind. He's now 10 years old. His 10-year-old son, Christian, the idea is for the fund to accumulate money so that Christian will have enough money put aside so that when he's old enough, he can go to whatever college he wants. So that is one area of where our proceeds are going to. The second is, you know, sadly, history repeated itself, ironically, on the one-year anniversary of Nate's death. Another friend of mine passed away, a woman named Dawn Marie Goodearl. Dawn Marie was actually a waitress at Pearl Street, and she was a big part of the family over there, not just to me, but to a lot of other folks. Dawn Marie sadly passed away to lung cancer back around late February, early March, and the family is asking for memorial donations to be made to the MSPCA. So one half will go to Nate Dunn's fund, the second half will go to the MSPCA in memory of Dawn Marie Goodearl. So this is going to be at 8 p.m. at 53 Summer Street in Malden. You can come see the show for a nominal fee, whether you pay at the door or on Eventbrite. So come on down to Pearl Street Station. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8 p.m. And if you arrive early at around 6:30, you can come early for the fine cuisine that Pearl Street has as well. So hopefully we'll see you there. 8 p.m., 53 Summer Street, Malden, Pearl Street Station, King Serpent Follies with guest performers.
And you're listening to What's Happening here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. I'm Aaron.
Smitty.
And David Breen. And, oh, Aaron, may I say something really quick?
David Breen is going to speak.
Well, this is very important to me as well. I just wanted to give a shout out to a mutual friend of Aaron and ours. This is going out to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I wanted to say happy 60th birthday to my friend, my brother, and part of our family as well, Mr. Dale Robertson. Dale Robertson is celebrating his 60th birthday today, so I want to say happy birthday, Dale. Hope you're enjoying yourself. And for those of you who don't know, Dale is not only a close friend and a blood brother, as far as I'm concerned, Dale is a legend in blues music out in the Ann Arbor area. He's a phenomenal blues musician, and today's Dale's birthday. So
happy birthday, Dale.
Happy 60th birthday, Dale Robertson.
And we'll be back in a moment.
This is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal. Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
We'll be right back.
ask a simple question. Questions do or die. The devil's in the answer. I'm just a modern guy.
Truth be told, and I just may lie when. working bee buzzing round your hive. Yes, I'm a king bee buzzing round your hive. Yes, I can make honey, baby, just let me come inside. Yes, I'm a king bee, want you to be my queen. Just let me come inside.
Welcome back to What's Happening.
Oh, it's good, going right back into just a cool? modern guy. Wants to hear it again. So, I'll tell you, that was called Fezzalicious, and that is the second track on my brand new debut CD. 61 years later, I've always been a drummer for the past 45 plus years. This is the first time I'm like in the front singing my debut CD at 61, Just a Modern Guy.
Cool.
You can get it at CD Baby and Bandcamp. You can get it a lot of other places, but I get paid if you buy it there.
But you know where a really great place to get it?
Huh.
At one of your gigs.
Yes.
You have any
get all of it.
You have any gigs coming up?
Actually, I am working on putting together gigs for both Little Billy Lost, that I continue to play drums in, and Smitty Smitty. And I can't really say right now because they're still forming the bands that are on the bill and stuff. But yes, there will be shows in the near future. And if I haven't outworn my welcome, Aaron, I would love to come back
Absolutely.
In a month or two and talk
Absolutely.
About them.
Well, the irony is, now you're talking about a bill and there's not one on your fez.
Okay, I see how this works now. Okay.
The great thing is that we played Just a Modern Guy and also Fezzalicious.
Yes.
And also for Dale Robertson, we played the one and only The Beatles with
King B.
Happy birthday. Don't play Dale Robertson with King
right.
B.
Right. Anyway, happy birthday, Dale. Hope you're enjoying your day today. And I know you had a little party last week, which looked like it was really live and hopping. But I hope today you're doing something really fun. And big happy 6-0 to Dale Robertson or the Dale Robertson Blues Band, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
So I'm even older than Dale at 6, because I literally just turned 61 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I am the oldest guy. See, this is going to start happening to me more and more. I am the oldest guy in the room. Jeez.
It happens. I mean,
it does.
See, you have no problem because the big question is, will they still love you when you're 64?
There you go. I got a couple more years to find out.
And they still love Ringo, and he was 64 right. a long time ago, and...
I've reached that weird age where, you know, if you put me next to Ringo, even though he's probably 6, 7 years, maybe 10 years older than me, we might look about the same age. Ringo is actually, he's lost a lot of weight. He's looking pretty good. He's looking pretty good.
He's actually aged pretty well.
He has.
His head grew into that nose. John, do I snore? With a snouser like that, it'd be a crime not to.
Yeah, you're growing into your beard, too. Unfortunately, it just doesn't grow long enough to cover your head.
I love it.
So, you're a drummer. Lefty or righty?
I'm a righty, and trust me, I have great envy for lefties who play righty. I have never met
and
a lefty.
We just talked about them.
I have never met. I'm sure they're out there, but I've never met a lefty playing a righty kit who's bad. Every lefty drummer playing a righty kit is phenomenal, and I hate them because they can play open-handed, you know. And us righties playing righty, we generally do the cross stick thing,
which of course is something that Ringo cannot do.
Exactly.
And thanks to his grandmother buying him a right-handed kit.
Yes.
He developed a much different beat.
Yes.
And a distinctive sound, so you know it's Ringo Starr.
Absolutely. And you can't fake it. It came naturally because he still was leading with his left, even though he was playing on a right. And all the fills and everything he did came from that.
And he says there are certain things he just can't do.
But right.
So, going back to growing up and listening to everything you can get your ears on. Being in Motown.
Yes.
It's...
I thought there were things... So here's the beauty part of Motown. So I'm a kid. I'm still in grammar school. And I'm thinking, you know, my world is Detroit. So you hear something on the radio and you think, well, everybody's hearing this. And then you grow up and you find out, no. There are certain songs and artists that were, you know, much like every regional area, much like there were some artists that broke out of Boston and you know, later on they became national, but their early material is known just to Boston, same with New York and every other city. I got a chance to hear early Bob Seger, like way before Silver Bullet, when he was on Cameo Parkway, the Herd and Bob Seger system. And I thought that these songs were known everywhere. Some people who are really into Bob Seger know his younger days material, but he was such a classic garage rock performer back then. And there's one song in particular, you probably know it because you guys are learned musical people, but the song Heavy Music, honestly, I thought it was a huge hit in Detroit. Huge. And I came out here, and I'd start talking about, you know, what a great catalog he had in the early days. And people are like, oh, no, I hate the Silver Bullet Band. It's like, no. There was a whole nother phase that Bob Seger had long before that. And I would tell them, yeah, like Heavy Music. And I never heard that song. He said, are you kidding me? You have never heard Heavy Music? I mean, these were like people who should have known. And so that's when it finally hit me. It's like, oh, I get it. This is one of the fun things. And, of course, Motown, we were hearing it before everybody. I mean, it broke, you know, the worldwide. But we were hearing it a good year and a half, you know, before anyone. And I just thought that was music. I just thought that was the radio.
So being in Detroit, although Detroit's a big place.
Yeah, yes. Metropolitan-wise, yes.
Yes. Did you happen to ever run into somebody that was in the entertainment business that inspired you to say, you know what?
Well, so the beauty part, and then the reason why they call it garage rock is, so, you know, I'm a, you know, Detroit is booming back in the late 50s and early 60s. The car industry is going crazy, and the suburbs were growing, you know, like weeds. And we had just witnessed the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. So every kid in the neighborhood for Christmas wanted a bass or a guitar or an organ or a drum kit. And, at a very early age, like I got my first really horrible drum kit at like 9 or 10. And I started playing in garage bands, you know, garage rock, garage bands. And it was primarily a suburban white kid thing because we saw the Beatles on TV. And a lot of us.
Your parents could afford a garage.
Yeah.
First of all,
you know, had a garage.
Yeah. I mean, being in downtown Detroit, I have a feeling the only garages were holding cars.
Okay. Well, you cut me to the quick on that one. my family's business was in downtown Detroit. I was a suburban kid. I ended up moving into the city when I got older, but yet, no, I was suburbs of Detroit. And yes, we had garages. And so I got my drum kit when I was still in grammar school. And I, you know, right at that time, Monkees, Rolling Stones, Beatles, Kinks, you know, right on that, Jimi Hendrix, you know, dan, dan, ch, ch, da, da, da. I mean, I'm like learning this stuff on a drum kit. I didn't even realize how difficult it was because I didn't know any better. You know, so that, yeah. So growing up in Detroit, I think had a lot to do with my passion for music these many decades later.
And you just finished the two-city tour.
Yes, Boston and Detroit. They were Herculean showcases. I pulled out all the stops. And the show that we had done at Once in Somerville with Gene Dante, The Gala, Parlor Bells, and my band Smitty, it was the very first show that Smitty's ever done. Again, I've been playing in bands my entire life, had a couple record deals, always as a drummer. Smitty, I put it together, and so that was her debut, and it was great. And then we followed it up by going to Detroit and playing the Detroit All-Star Garage Rock Punk Review 3. And I can't even get into all the bands and players, but I was able to take my band out to Detroit, and they just killed. I had a feeling I wanted to be one of the best bands of the 12 bands that were on there. And I can't say that, you know, I didn't take a vote at the end of the night, but I got a lot of compliments that we were definitely one of the best ones. And to that end, if I may indulge, because these guys and women were with me the whole way, and I have deep appreciation, and I just owe them so much for helping me out. Danny Lee on drums, Andrew Padeau on bass, James Melanson on guitar, Eddie Nowak on guitar, Sam Avola on vocals, Linda Dean Bean Pardee on vocals, and Joe Allen Saunders Giannis on vocals. And I could not have done it without these guys. They were phenomenal. We will be putting together a show for the second half of the fall somewhere in these parts. And I hope to come back to tell you about it. But I really, two huge shows, and I could not have done it without those guys. And I feel at 61, I just got done. So all this is happening when I was 60. Really, it arguably may have been the best year of my whole life. 60 years old. I just clicked into 61. Let's see what happens.
So it's ironic because you said you were 6 or 7 when the Beatles,
yes,
right? So you just finished 60.
Yeah. Which
transverse is 6, right?
Right, so, right, okay. Right.
And you're really hitting the music at 16-ish.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I had a little before that, but so, yeah.
But you're, yeah, there at 61, yeah, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
numbers. You're a numerologist? Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, I'm outnumbered. So, why Smitty?
Well,
because it's not spelt that way.
No, so here's the beauty part. God bless social media. First off, my real name, I'm not hiding, is Michael Smith. Okay. When Facebook and all the social media first started, I would drop in Michael Smith. And the funny thing that they do with social media is they give you a number after your name if you aren't the first one to pick your name. My name came up Michael Smith, like 1,273. It was like just, oh my God. I, as an artist and a musician, I want to be found. I do not want to be part of the soup. So I was like, all right, everyone calls me Smitty. And I was very fortunate. I worked with a producer by the name of Ivan. And it's like, I'm going to go for Smitty, just straight Smitty. Smitty on the internet and web, that was gone years ago. It's like, all right, I know Bun E. Carlos. He's like one of my favorite drummers of all time. Let's turn that Y into an E, separate it from the T's and throw a period on it. Bam, first shot. I can sit here and proudly announce to you, Aaron and David, I am the only SmitEsmitty.com on the planet. And that's how that came about.
And of course, you know, with advertising, they normally say you got to say it 3 times, so you actually have it at least twice.
Yeah.
right in your name.
And the thing is, I actually wrote it so it would be, you would pronounce it like Bunny Carlos. Everyone like says his name like his first name is Bunny, even though it's Bun E. And I was thinking, oh, they'll just say Smitty Smitty. Nope. Everyone likes to stop off at that E to a point where I'm even doing it. Smit E Smitty.
And the other band?
And the other band, Little Billy Lost. I'm the drummer in that band, and the standout, actually all the performers are standout performers, but the guy who's got the known name out of the band is our guitar player, Fred Pinot, who was the guitar player for the Atlantics.
Yeah, had him in.
Yeah, he's
also,
I love the guy.
Also, you know, our great friend who does Telemore.
Right, yes, yes.
Yes, and
he's got his own thing going on, yeah, right? Yeah,
great music.
Yeah.
How do you find? Because you're around two cities.
Yes.
Two major cities.
Yes.
Which, ironically, way back when Michigan used to be part of Massachusetts, but don't tell anybody in Michigan.
Oh, I know. And then the lakes came in and separated them. And it, instead of millions of years, I think it happened in
Ricky
a couple
Lake
of weeks.
Did that?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Just, it was a couple weeks.
You know what? It must have been when she was doing. Hairspray.
Oh, I got to watch it around you, Aaron.
I actually just saw a recent picture of her. She looks good, man.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Lake. Two major cities. What was your train of thought?
Two major cities. And when you're in each city.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's sort of hard to bring your drum kit and everything else, but getting out and supporting the other local artists.
Well, you see, that's a rough one because, so the most obvious, the elephant in the room is I moved to Boston in 1985 and I'm still here. So clearly, I'm digging this town and there is a really rock solid music scene here, no complaint, and artists and musicians, oh my God, off the charts, great. Having said that, the thing that I am reminded of every time I go back to Detroit is Detroit has really built its identity. Yes, we know the cars, but the other identity that it's known for is the music. And as a result, music in general, as far as the everyday culture of Detroit, is just there every single day. Regular radio stations and TV stations here in Boston, you're lucky if you hear a local band mentioned one or two times a year.
College radio, that's what it's all about.
There you go.
But here's the irony. What year did you move here?
85.
Okay, what was one of the big bands back in 1985?
Oh.
The Cars.
The Cars. Well, yes.
You went from the Cars to the Cars.
I was working. I did my first full summer. So my grandmother has a place in Truro. She passed. But I came out for my first full summer working the year that the Cars came out with their debut album. And I was like working and painting houses on the Cape, listening to the Cars when they were getting played here before anywhere else. I mean, Cars, I almost feel like they're a Detroit band.
Well, you know, there's a gentleman who we lost a couple months back, Tom Petty.
Yes.
Now, American Girl.
Yeah.
Because I've played the track and he says, you know, came out with American Girl, and it went nowhere. It just dropped.
Right.
And somebody came to us and said, they're playing it in Boston.
Yeah.
And once it was played in Boston, it took off.
Yep.
Same thing with three guys, around part of the group, the Three Stooges in 1960, right here in Boston. Okay?
Yeah.
Other bands have had to go other places, other people, but you know what? It all begins here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you may have begun in Detroit, but...
I'm just saying.
But, you know...
But that's the one thing.
Your brand new band.
Yes.
Your all brand
Boston.
New album.
Yes.
All from Boston.
Yes.
All great artists that you brought to us. Where can people get the album?
So it's going to be online. I did bring all the record stores in town. They do have copies of the CD. Just go in there and ask for Smitty Smitty. But honestly, the most direct way to make sure yours truly gets a little bit of love from putting it out there is just go to Bandcamp and look up Smitty Smitty. Same thing with Bandcamp and CD Baby.
David, again, let everybody know where the event is going to be.
Okay, so King Serpent Variety Troupe presents King Serpent Follies with guest performers. We'll be at Pearl Street Station Restaurant in the Tuscany Room at number 53 Summer Street in Malden, Thursday, September 20th. 8 p.m. Doors open at 7. The show's at 8. You can come see the show for a nominal fee, whether you come at the door, or you can go on eventbrite.com, and proceeds for the show will go to the Nate Dunn Memorial Fund and the MSPCA in memory of Dawn Marie Goodearl. And if I could just say one quick thing, if for those of you who would like to come to the show but you cannot make it, donations are appreciated to both those funds as well. There is a way to donate to the MSPCA through their website. And to find more about the Nate Dunn Memorial Fund, all you have to do is go to gofundme.com/Nate Dunn.
Thank you, David Breen. Thank you, Michael Smith. We've got great albums, great music, great entertainment. King Serpent Follies, look for them online. Look for Smitty Smith online. We're out of here with What's Happening.